Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Rise Up and Reclaim God's Vision. Rise up and reclaim God's vision. In the recent Sundays, since we have begun our Rise Up initiative, we have been challenged to rise up and remember God's faithfulness in your life individually and in the life of our congregation corporately. Last Sunday morning, we were challenged to rise up and kneel down, which was a reference and a challenge to pray, to recommit our lives to the Lord in prayer personally, but then also here at Emory Baptist Church, and most certainly as a part of this Rise Up initiative. By the way, brothers and sisters, we have multiple opportunities for you to pray here, to pray as a part of our ongoing prayer ministry. We say every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night at the conclusion of our worship service, the words of Christ in that this shall be called a house of prayer, and that is tremendous that we were reminded of such, but we also need to make that a reality, where we pray in this place. And so as it relates to our Rise Up Capital campaign, there are just a couple of 1 hour time slots available for the Rise Up 24-hour prayer vigil, which is coming up in 2 weeks. So I am grateful and thankful for those of you who have signed up to pray at midnight and at 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. and 10 p.m., but we have just a couple, I believe two, time slots available. And so if you have not signed up to be a part of that, to come on site during that 24-hour period starting Saturday morning, 7 a.m., October the 15th, going until Sunday morning, 7 a.m., October the 16th, I would encourage you to consider that. We'll be providing security around the clock for that entire 24-hour period. But again, we have 2 1-hour time slots available that we need to get filled. And then for our prayer room, and I'm specifically talking to our retired members and our members who may have a more flexible work schedule than others, we have multiple 1 hour time slots available for you to be a part of our weekly prayer room ministry. We can say that this is a house of prayer, but we must also make this a house of prayer. And so, brothers and sisters, don't let those empty time slots remain. So we have remembered God's faithfulness. We've heard the challenge to kneel down and commit in prayer. And today, we're going to be challenged to reclaim God's vision. Reclaim God's vision. Now, we are all, or at least most of us, are somewhat familiar with Proverbs 29:18, and specifically how the King James Version translates it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And so as we talk about vision this morning, and we talk about reclaiming God's vision, we look to God's Word. In our study of the book of Nehemiah and the story of Nehemiah. And so if you have found Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 1, would you stand this morning in honor of God's Word? Follow along on the screens behind me or in your copy of the scriptures. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I'd never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, "Why is your face sad since you're not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?" Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy." And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've come here this morning to hear from you. And so, Lord, over these next few moments, would you help us to put away any and all distractions that stand in the way of us hearing from you? Lord, would you give your messenger this morning clarity of thought and clarity of speech, and would you unite our hearts today with yours and your vision? And Father, if there is anyone within the sound of my voice who doesn't know Christ as Savior and Lord, would you let them know in an unmistakable way that your vision for them is for them to put their faith and trust in Christ? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. And you may be seated. Rise up and reclaim God's vision. So here in verse 1, we see a time marker, much like the time marker that we saw in the first verse of chapter 1. And the writer of Nehemiah says it came to pass in the month of Nisan, this would be their March or April. And we began our study in Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1, in the month of Kislev, which would be their November or December. So we're talking about approximately 4 months later, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. And then we see Nehemiah doing his job. Well, what was his job? He was the king's cupbearer, which meant that he was to taste all of the king's drink before the king tasted it, to make sure that it was safe for the king to drink. And so that's what you have here in verse 1. "When wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king." So Nehemiah had tasted it, it seemed good, and so he passed it along to King Artaxerxes. But notice the end of verse 1. There was something different about Nehemiah. "Now I had never been sad in his presence before." And not only was Nehemiah sad, but the king noticed his sadness there in verse 2. "Therefore the king said to me, 'Why is your face so sad?' And the king said, 'I know that you're not sick. So why are you so sad?' Nehemiah became dreadfully afraid," is what verse 2 says. He did not want the king to think that he was upset at him. There was something going on in his life related to the king. He did not want to in any way, shape, form, or fashion displease the king or fall out of favor with the king. And so he says there in verse 3, reassuring the king, may the king live forever. But, and then in verse 3, Nehemiah reveals why he was sad, why he had this countenance about him that the king noticed. Look at what he says in verse 3. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire? You see, when we talk about God's vision, for Nehemiah, God's vision was going to be to rebuild the walls, to rebuild and restore the city of Jerusalem. If you'll remember, ransacked in 586 BC and laying in ruins for 140 years. God's city, for God's people to be safe and secure. And Nehemiah heard the report. He saw it for himself, and he was grieved. And he was sad. And he knew he had to do something because God had put it in his heart. Well, brothers and sisters, what is the vision, God's vision for Emory Baptist Church? Well, coming straight from his word, his vision for us is to love him, to love others, and to make disciples. Matthew 28, Matthew 22. And we all know that the very first step in making disciples is sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you were here last Sunday morning and you participated in our demonstration, you saw the absolute urgent need of sharing the gospel with children and sharing the gospel with teenagers. Because however high the statistics are of individuals putting their faith and trust in Christ before they turn 18, we demonstrated it with our experiment that once an individual turns 18, the probability decreases dramatically. And so it is incumbent upon us to do the very best we can with urgency in sharing the gospel with children and teenagers in Emory and Raines County and the surrounding area. And a Family Life Center would aid us tremendously in that. Not a requirement. Please don't hear me say a requirement. But would aid us tremendously in those efforts. But how do we pay for that? Well, how have Baptist churches paid for buildings for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years? Through the faithful, generous giving of Baptist church members. And so, when we talk about God's vision for Nehemiah and God's vision for Emory Baptist Church and loving him and loving other and making disciples and what might be also included in that? Well, please remember our goal. Our goal stated plainly in your Rise Up booklet. If you have that this morning, you can turn to page 8 there and you can see very plainly and very clearly our goal to pay for the entire cost of our Family Life Center in a 3-year period beginning November 2022 by engaging every member of Emory Baptist Church in biblical financial stewardship. The goal is intentional. The goal is simple. The goal is plainly stated. So how then do we achieve the goal? Well, how did Nehemiah achieve his goal in reclaiming God's vision? Well, let's look at the text. In verse 4, it said, "Then the king said to me, 'What do you request?' And so I prayed to the God of heaven." We know that Nehemiah prayed here. We know that Nehemiah prayed previously. And if you were here last Sunday morning, you heard from Nehemiah chapter 1 and verses 4 through 11, the contents of Nehemiah's prayer. He asked for God's attention. What is the best way to ask for God's attention? To tell God how wonderful He is, the great and awesome and mighty God of heaven. And then Nehemiah confessed his own corruption or his own sin, but also the sin of his people. Specifically, they had been disobedient to God's commands in their life. And so we talked about what might be some sin that we need to confess, independent of the Rise Up initiative. But what also might some sins be that we need to confess related to the Rise Up initiative? Maybe fear, maybe doubt, maybe self-indulgence. And then Nehemiah petitioned the Lord for prosperity, or for success. The very last verse of Nehemiah chapter 1, "Let your servant prosper this day." And so what would success look like for us? Well, you heard me pray just a moment ago, and I appreciate others that I have heard pray similarly in the recent days, for God to bring those construction costs down to at least $225 a square foot. For God to engage every EBC family. Not the ones that are just here today, but the ones who aren't here today and the ones who haven't been for multiple weeks, to draw them in. And then finally, for the God of heaven, the God who holds the world in His hands, the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the God who can take 5 biscuits and 2 sardines and feed 5,000 plus people, asking that God to provide for every single cent, whatever that total amount may be. Nehemiah prayed. And brothers and sisters, we must also pray. But notice secondly, not only did Nehemiah pray, Nehemiah planned. He planned. He had a plan. He had a goal. God had given him a vision, and he had a plan. He said to the king, there in verse 5, "That you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs." He doesn't name Jerusalem specifically, but he reminds the king of his connection. His connection with Jerusalem. "That you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Then the king has some questions. Well, how long are you going to be gone? When are you going to return? And Nehemiah provides for those answers. And then Nehemiah has some more requests, because What has he been doing? He hadn't just been sitting idly by. He's been planning in his mind, here's what needs to happen for me to rebuild the city. Verse 7. Let me have some letters that will essentially get me a pass through enemy territory so I can get to where I need to go. And once I get there, verse 8, a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, for the house that I will occupy. See, these weren't wrought iron fences. These weren't chain link fences. These were big wooden walls and gates that had been burned. So Nehemiah planned. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know, Emory Baptist Church has been planning for no less than 14 years to get us where we are today. Can I give you a little history lesson this morning? Listen to this. August the 24th, 2008. Some of you may have been here. Emory Baptist Church held our first worship service in this current facility. Just out of curiosity, if you remember being here on that date, August the 24th, 2008, would you raise your hand? Quite a few of you, but quite a few of you were not here because you're new to Emory Baptist Church. May 23rd, 2010, Emory Baptist Church voted to establish our first Family Life Center committee. May the 15th, 2011, Emory Baptist Church voted to purchase the first of four lots on the east side of Ravine Street. Ravine Street runs just behind us here, for future growth. And August the 17th, 2014, Emory Baptist Church voted to build a Family Life Center. The congregation voted in a members' meeting. In that same members' meeting, August 17th, 2014, Emory Baptist Church voted to purchase the second of four lots on the east side of Ravine Street for future growth. November the 16th, 2014, Emory Baptist Church voted to call Richard Piles as their 29th pastor. July 2017, Emory Baptist Church is completely debt-free, having paid off our note on our main building of the current facility, this building. 2017, Emory Baptist Church acquired the Avon Rice property on this block through a very generous gift. January 2020, Emory Baptist Church voted to purchase the Wright property on this city block. December 2020, Emory Baptist Church voted to hire Godwin Design Architects to design our Family Life Center. All of 2021, Emory Baptist Church Family Life Center Committee received input from the congregation on the design of the Family Life Center through multiple bulletin inserts and listening sessions. March the 20th, 2022, Emory Baptist Church voted to approve Godwin Design Architects' proposed design for our Family Life Center. March the 20th, 2022, Emory Baptist Church voted to establish a capital fundraising team for the Family Life Center. September 18th, 2022, Rise Up Capital Campaign began a six-week intensive period with Sunday school lessons and Sunday morning sermons. And then again, September the 25th, 2022, Emory Baptist Church voted to purchase the third and fourth lots of four on the east side of Irvine Street for future growth. See, brothers and sisters, we didn't just get here overnight. We've been planning, you've been planning for 14 plus years to get us to this point of where we are today. Nehemiah prayed. And Nehemiah planned. But then notice the end of verse 8. The king perceived. What did the king perceive? Look at the text. And the king granted them. What did he grant? Well, he granted Nehemiah's request. The king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. You see, the king recognized God's hand on Nehemiah. He perceived that Nehemiah wasn't just doing this out of selfish motivation, that God's hand was on him. And so what did he do? He granted his requests. And you see, brothers and sisters, that's now the position that you find yourself in. What do you perceive of your leadership? Is your pastor following the lead of the Lord? Are your deacons following the lead of the Lord? Is your Family Life Center committee following the lead of the Lord? Is your Rise Up Capital fundraising team following the lead of the Lord? If you think they're not, then you can just simply sit back and watch. But if you think they are, it is incumbent upon you as a follower of the Lord to follow their lead. And I want to remind you this morning of a couple here in our church who wants to share their story with you of how they're following the Lord's lead as it relates to our Family Life Center and our Rise Up Capital campaign.
Hi, we're Benny and Lori Ellington, and we've been members of Emory Baptist Church for 5 years.
When Lori and I got married 43 years ago, we knew we had the same core values, but we didn't realize how different our personalities were and how different we were in our approach to most things, not the least of which was our finances.
That's for sure. Benny is analytical and conservative, while I tend to lead with my heart. But I've generally respected his role as not only the spiritual leader of our household, but also the financial leader.
And because of God's blessings, we've never had any real money issues, and we were blessed to be able to retire a little bit early with no debt and a respectable nest egg.
When it comes to our giving, our tithing has always been non-negotiable. It happens before anything else. And we're committed to giving to missions. And then we discuss the amount when it comes to other giving opportunities. When I was asked to serve on the Rise Up Capital fundraising team, my heart was all in this campaign. But I was concerned about how in the world Benny and I would ever agree on our commitment amount. But then our team spent 3 days fasting at breakfast and lunch and using that time to study Nehemiah and pray specific prayers. When I sat down to study and pray, Benny shocked me by saying he wanted to join me in the fast and the prayer time. Through that process, I became more certain than ever that God is absolutely able to make the impossible happen. But I was still concerned about us being able to be united in our level of commitment and the first fruits offering. I prayed desperately that the Holy Spirit would lead Benny to join me in my desire to be as generous to God as he has always been to us.
At the same time, I was praying that God would show me the amount He wanted us to commit to give, and that I would appropriately lead us in being generous in our commitment. Also had concerns that she'd want to give more than I felt we could afford, and I knew it would be a minor miracle for us to land on the same number.
When we finally got ready to fill out our commitment card, the amount Benny told me we could commit to was double the amount I had been praying to give. It had me asking him, "Are you sure about this? We are on a fixed income, and our savings have been taking a hit this last year."
Well, this year we have taken a hit on our investments. When you look at the net change over the past 2 years, it wasn't so bad. And I reminded Lori that throughout all the years we built that nest egg, many times we had suffered losses, but the market always comes back and we've ended up better than ever. Why wouldn't we trust that God would once again make the market come back if we're faithful to Him? And if He didn't, we're still okay. I couldn't see any reason to not commit to the amount that God had led me to give.
I was overjoyed with our decision and so grateful that God answered my prayers by blessing me with double what I hoped to give. That emboldened me to ask the next question I'd been praying about. How much can we give for our first fruits offering on November 6? Again, Benny told me a number that was double the amount I had in mind and that I'd been praying for. In 43 years of marriage, I guarantee you this has never happened. I've been so amazed that God answered my prayers with a miracle, and it made me know that God will miraculously bless this church and deliver on our prayers if we are obedient and we rise up and kneel down to pray.
We're grateful that God heard our individual prayers and that He united our hearts in our commitment and our first fruits offering. We turned in our commitment card knowing that we're walking together in God's will, and that's a great feeling.
I'm grateful and thankful for Benny and Lori. Long before that video, bringing them to Embry Baptist Church, serving in multiple capacities. But in that video, you can see and recognize the opportunity that I spoke to you about just a moment ago. They have perceived that the leadership here at Embry Baptist Church is following the lead of the Lord. And so then they are following the lead of the Lord as well. And so, brothers and sisters, we have to pray. And then we have to make sure that we plan. But then we have to decide, is this God or not? I want to close this morning by reminding you of this. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, God's vision for you is to be saved. His vision for you is to have a personal saving relationship with the God of the universe. And if you don't have that this morning, in just a few minutes after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you, as we're all standing and singing across the auditorium, I'm going to invite you to make your way here to the front. I'll be here. Brother Ronnie will be here. And if today you would answer that call to salvation, to put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time, I'm going to invite you to step out on one of these aisles and again make your way here to the front. We'd love to celebrate with you, rejoice with you, pray with you, counsel with you. Maybe your next step of obedience needs to be believer's baptism. We'd love to make that happen in your life. Maybe as a guest, your next step of obedience is to unite with Embry Baptist Church. What an exciting time for you to join Embry Baptist Church as we're seeking to do God's will for our future. Again, Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front, and we would love to welcome you. But brothers and sisters, today, the challenge for us is to rise up and reclaim God's vision. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for the story of Nehemiah and the vision that you put in his heart. And Lord, I'm thankful for the vision that you put in the hearts of Embry Baptist Church members 14 plus years ago. and in your perfect timing, bringing us to where we are today. Father, I ask and I pray that we would be committed to prayer and be committed to responsible planning for the future. And Lord, help us to understand if this is your will. And if it's not, Lord, please, please keep us from making a mistake. Father, we want to do your will above all else, because we know that what comes with doing your will is your blessing. And so, Father, please lead, guide, and direct us. And if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, I pray, if they do not know Christ as Savior, that you would convict them of their lostness, and through your Holy Spirit, draw them unto you, giving them faith to believe. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? And as Brother Chris comes to lead us in a very familiar song, would you come today responding to God's word in our invitation?